about signposts of the second coming of Jesus to this earth. It all began back in 1948. We lived in Indianapolis, Indiana at the time. My mom and dad said that God had called them to start a church in Joplin, Missouri. Of course, my sister and I went along. Well, as a child, I looked forward every year when our family loaded into the car and headed back to Indianapolis to visit with our relatives. Now, this was back before the days of interstate highways. The distance between Joplin, Missouri and Indianapolis, Indiana was about 600 or so miles. Well, you know how it goes for a kid in the backseat between what was now two sisters. It seemed like the trip absolutely took forever. So mother did her part. As dad drove, she tried to entertain us, and we would always play the ABC game. You know how that goes. You look for all the road signs, and you have to find an A, then a B, then a C. And, you know, we always got stuck on the dreaded Q. I mean, there just weren't any Qs out there. And so we were always anxiously looking for maybe a Dairy Queen so we could get the Q and win the game. Well, once you got the Q, then there was the X. And this was back before they had interstate highways, so there were no exit ramps, and you couldn't get your X there. And it just seemed like you couldn't get an X. And I remember thinking, oh, if I could just find a xylophone factory, that would turn the trick. Never did find one of those. But anyway, we would play the ABC game, and we would play it through maybe two or three times. But after a while, you sort of get tired of it, you know. Well, anyway, we switched games, and we would then play my favorite game, Punch Bug. Now, the way this game worked is every time you saw a Volkswagen, the first one to see it would scream, Punch Bug, and then you got to punch the person next to you. Well, for a boy between two sisters, this was a real treat because I could hit my sisters legally. Well, we'd play that for a while until I got a little bit carried away and hit a little bit too hard. Well, then all that came to a screeching halt. By then, my mother was sick of it, and she would say, it's time to play, you guessed it, the quiet game. Well, anyway, the trip drug on, and for the first 250 miles, there were no signs to Indianapolis. My parents said there was a place called Indianapolis, but I was taking it all by faith because there were no signs. Finally, we came to St. Louis. Now, when we left St. Louis, we entered into Illinois. There it was, 250 miles to Indianapolis. Well, that was good news and bad news. At least there was a place called Indianapolis. On the other hand, 250 miles, we're only halfway there. Well, finally, I went to sleep for a while, and that helped a little bit because when I woke up, the sign I saw was 150 miles to Indianapolis. Still a long way, but it was getting better. Finally, we come to the Indiana line, and I'll never forget, my parents broke out singing back home again in Indiana, and oh, it's sort of an exciting time. At least we're in the state of Indiana now. And the sign I saw said 78 miles. To Indianapolis. Okay, we're getting closer. Before long, it was 52 miles, then 35 miles. Now it's really getting exciting. Then 18 miles, then 13, then 9, then 7 miles to Indianapolis, and finally, Indianapolis city limits. Now, the reason I'm talking to you about all this is because, like the signs to Indianapolis when I was a kid, the prophetic signs back after the first coming of Jesus and the scattering of the Jews around the world, the signs were really far off. They were far between each sign after the first coming of Jesus to the earth. One of the first big prophetic fulfillments was the birth of the Holy Roman Empire in 800 AD. There's a prophecy in Daniel chapter number 2 about the five empires that would obtain world dominion from 600 BC until the second coming of Jesus to the earth. Now, the first four of these empires were Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. This is all built in a prophecy with a statue. Babylon was the head of gold. Media Persia was the arms and breasts of silver. The belly and thighs of grass was the of brass was the Grecian Empire. And then the legs of iron was the Roman Empire. However, there was one more segment to the statue. The last prophesied world empire was the Holy Roman Empire. And it was symbolized by the feet of iron mingled with clay. The iron element of the Roman Empire was carried over, even though the Roman Empire ceased to exist about 300 AD. The Holy Roman Empire was born in 800 AD, but there's another element added into the iron, and that was clay, which symbolized the religious element, because the Holy Roman Empire and the Roman Empire are two different things. The Holy Roman Empire was begun in 800 AD when Pope Leo III placed the crown on the head of Charlemagne, the most powerful ruler in Europe at the time, pronouncing him the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. Well, the Holy Roman Empire ruled Europe for the next 1,000 years, and he was always led by a political leader from Europe, most of the time from Germany, and a religious leader, always from the Vatican in Rome. Well, most historians say that the Holy Roman Empire ceased to exist in 1806. I mean, it lasted for 1,000 years and it ruled Europe off and on for the 1,000-year period. But in 1806, it dissolved. However, the Bible prophesies the Holy Roman Empire will be ruling the world at the time of the second coming of Jesus. Furthermore, the scriptures say that a political leader, the Antichrist, and a religious leader, the false prophet, will again rule the Holy Roman Empire. I mean, it was always that way for 1,000 years. The Holy Roman Empire was always ruled by a political leader from Europe, the spiritual leader from Italy. So the Bible prophesies that's what's going to happen again. So in order for this to come to pass, the Holy Roman Empire will obviously have to be reborn. Now, we'll learn later in this lesson that this has recently happened. So the Holy Roman Empire was born in 800 AD. It's a huge sign of the second coming, but it's really about 250 miles to Indianapolis. Okay, the next big prophecy, 1776, the birth of the United States of America. In Daniel chapter 7, there's a prophecy about four beasts. It states in the chapter that these beasts symbolize nations. It also teaches that the nations will be on the earth at the time of the second coming. So it's very important. The first beast in this chapter is a lion. There is a major nation in the world today whose official animal symbol is the lion. If you'll look in Webster's Third International Dictionary, under lion, it'll say Great Britain. Okay. So God says Great Britain is going to be one of the nations that will be on the earth at the time of the second coming. The second beast in the prophecy of Daniel 7 was a bear. Well, there's a major nation on earth today whose symbol is the bear. You probably know the answer. It's Russia. Okay, so we have Great Britain, Russia. Now, one more thing about the lion, however. Verse 4 says, the lion had eagle's wings. There's a major nation today on this earth whose official symbol is the eagle. All of us know the answer to that, of course, and that's the American eagle. Every time you go to the post office, you see them plastered all over the walls. That's the symbol of the United States of America. Now, here's what's absolutely remarkable. The eagle's wings are depicted in the prophecy coming out of the lion. Where did the U.S. come from? Our mother country, Great Britain, right? But this was written 550 BC. How did God know all these things? Well, that's the way the prophecies work. God tells us before it comes to pass, so that when it does come to pass, we might believe. So we came out of Great Britain, but that's not all the prophecy says. It also states there, Daniel said in verse 4, I beheld till the wings were plucked. He saw the breaking away of the eagle's wings from the lion. He actually saw the Declaration of Independence, which occurred in 1776. 76 AD. Amazing. 150 miles to Indianapolis. Okay, let's fast forward now. We come to the 20th century. And when we came to the 20th century, everything seems to speed up. Now, the world had never had a war with 1 million fatalities in all human history. I'm talking about from Adam and Eve all the way until 1900. There had never been a war with 1 million deaths. But in 1914, World War I broke out. 8.2 million dead. They called it the Great War. The whole world said, we got to stop this. It can never happen again. So Woodrow Wilson in 1919 attempted to establish a world government called the League of Nations. He thought world government was the answer to peace on earth. Well, it didn't work, as we're going to see in a moment. However, between World War I and World War II, something very significant prophetically happened. Franklin D. Roosevelt, president of the United States of America, decided we needed a program called Social Security. In order for us to have this program that would help people after they could no longer work, would give them a small income, when they established this, there was one thing needed. Every person had to have a number, a Social Security card. So Americans began to receive Social Security numbers. Now, a lot of people resisted the Social Security number because the Bible prophesied a time when every person on earth would be required to have a number without which that person would not be able to buy or sell. And so a lot of people said to the government, no, this is the precursor to the mark of the beast. We're not going to take it. In order to allay the fears, the government stamped the Social Security cards not to be used for identification. This is only for the Social Security system. Well, we know how that's turned out. You've got to have your Social Security number for almost everything you do. Cash a check, file your taxes. I mean, now then the number pretty well controls us economically. But back in those days, 1935, it was a huge step, I might say, in the wrong direction. Well, then came 1939 through 1945, World War II, and this time we didn't have 8.2 million dead. This time, 52 million. It was astounding. Now, when these 52 million died, that's a huge event. I mean, nothing like it in the history of mankind. Not 1 million dead in any war prior to 1900. Now we have, in a matter of 20 years, we have 8.2 million dead, then 52 million dead. Is any of this in the prophecies of the Bible? The answer is yes. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 8 through 9, there's a prophecy about a war in which one-third of the ships would be destroyed, and also that there would be a great mountain burning with fire cast in the sea. I was thinking about this prophecy, and I remember thinking, well, there's never been a war with one-third of the ships destroyed. But then one day, while considering the 52 million dead of World War II, I said to my research assistant at the time, Kathy, Kathy, go to the library and find out how many ships participated in World War II and find out how many of them were sunk. 3 or 4 days later, she came to my office. She put the documents down on my desk, and I looked at the numbers. 105,127 ships participated in World War II. 36,387 of them were sunk. I looked at that. I quickly calculated in my mind, almost one-third on the nose. I said, Kathy, I didn't ask you to cook the books. I want the facts only. She said, honest, the librarian helped me. This is the way it was. I said, you're kidding me. Well, then beside that, the prophecy there in Revelation 8, verse 9, 8 and 9 says that there was a great mountain burning with fire cast in the sea. And I thought, okay, if World War II was the sounding of the second trumpet, it's the second trumpet prophecy, if that is the truth, what's this great mountain burning with fire? And I happened to see a picture of an atomic explosion, and it looked just like a great mountain burning with fire. And I thought, well, you know, the first atomic bomb in all of human history was dropped in World War II. And it's such a huge event. Why wouldn't that be in the book of Revelation. So I decided that the second trumpet of Revelation chapter 8 sounded at the time of World War II. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, 78 miles to Indianapolis. We're getting closer. The signs are being thrown up to us by God himself. Okay. Well, after World War II, the people of the world, the leaders in particular, said, we've got to find a way to prevent war. I mean, 8 million dead, 52 million dead. The next time we go to war, we're going to destroy the entire world. We can't do this anymore. So the nation said, we're going to put together an organization, and they decided to call it the United Nations. And the concept was, instead of going to war when there's a disagreement among nations, we will bring the disagreement to the world body. We will debate it in front of the nations of the world, and then we'll have a vote. And then all of us who are members of the United Nations, we agree to submit ourselves to the will of the majority. Thus, we will sort of create a democracy of nations. Furthermore, we're going to work toward global disarmament, and eventually all the nations of the world will lay down their arms, and there will only be one army. It'll be the army of the world community, or the global government, and that way we can have peace on earth. Now, there was a fatal flaw in this logic, however, and that is, okay, you get all the nations of the world together, everybody disarms, there's only one army left. What happens when Adolf Hitler gains control over the only army that's left? And a lot of people said, oh, that'll never happen. But the fact is, the Bible prophesies that's exactly what is going to happen, only it won't be Adolf Hitler. It'll be a personage the Bible calls the Antichrist. Well, that was 1945, and that was the birth of world government. And the Bible teaches there will be a world government ruling the world at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, quickly on the heels of the establishment of the United Nations was another huge prophetic event, and that is the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 and 28 says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and will gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." Now, all of us know that Israel had been driven out of the promised land by the Romans in 70 AD. And they had been filtered through the nations for the last 1878 years. But in the wake of World War II and the horrible Holocaust of Adolf Hitler, the impetus to return to their homeland was powerful. The Jews had lost about one third of their global population. I think they started out with something like 16 million, and they lost 6 million during the Holocaust. They ended up with about 11 million Jews on the entire earth, and they realized that there were people who wanted them totally annihilated. Consequently, they started to go back to the nation of Israel. They decided, we've got to go home. And a lot of the people who were sent into the concentration camps said to their kids, we're not going to make it. But they gave them their wealth, their money, and said, take this money, get to the nation of Israel, build a life for yourself. And so young Jewish teenagers got on boats, headed for Israel. And by 1948, there were 600,000 Jews living in the promised land. Finally, on May the 14th of 1948, David Ben-Gurion declared the independence of the nation of Israel. Now, a war broke out the next day, and there were 42 million Arabs surrounding this small 600,000 Jewish nation. But amazingly, even though war broke out, when the dust cleared, the Jewish people had won that war and even expanded their territory slightly. Well, that went on for the next 19 years or so until Nasser of Egypt decided that he was ready to drive the Zionist entity into the sea. So he was prepared to launch a new war against Israel. And in 1967, war raged for 6 days. And in that 6-day war, Israel defeated Egypt, Syria, and Jordan, expanding her borders to approximately the promised land borders as they were outlined in the Bible. Now, let's get this picture. 1945, the Jewish nation at its very lowest point. It did not look good. 3 years later, a nation is born. Most people thought it would never survive in the hostile territory it was located in, totally surrounded by Arabs that hated the nation of Israel. However, 22 years, by 1967, 22 years after the Holocaust, now Israel stands astride the Middle East, having vanquished all of her enemies, and Israel has now become the premier military power in the Middle East. Think of this. From the lowest point, losing one-third of your population in the gas chambers of Nazi Germany, to the premier power of the Middle East in 22 years, it was obviously a miracle. Today, Israel produces 40% of Europe's flowers. The little nation of Israel, 50 miles wide, 200 miles long, the Bible says the desert would blossom like a rose. Well, it happened. It was a huge sign. After almost 2,000 years in exile, now the nation of Israel is reborn. Amazing. 53 miles to Indianapolis. Okay, now in the Six-Day War, Jerusalem was reunited. That was important because it's in the prophecies of the Bible. And the Jews began to settle in Judea. This was the West Bank area. Well, there's a prophecy in the Bible about Judea. And the Jews have to be there in order for this prophecy, which we will consider a little later on, to actually be fulfilled. So the Bible teaches that the Jews will have a presence on the Temple Mount. Now, the Temple Mount was under Arab control until the 67 war. But in 67, Israel took control of the Temple Mount and also the entire area of Judea. So this was another huge prophetic event in the history of the nation of Israel. Now comes 1981. In the background of all this, there are those people who believe they're supposed to establish a world government and they know how to rule it. And one of the things they need is a national ID so they can control everyone and track everyone. Well, at that particular time in 1981, Ronald Reagan, the president of the United States, was wrestling with the immigration problem. At a cabinet meeting, one of his cabinet members said, the only way we're going to solve the immigration problem is to give everyone a national ID card. That way, we can know who's allowed to work in the United States of America, who's allowed to be here, and who's not allowed to be here. And when Reagan heard that, he said, that's the mark of the beast. We're not doing that. And that was the last of the national ID that we heard for a while. Well, then, in 1986, another huge prophetic event happened. There was a nuclear explosion in Chernobyl. Now, under the third trumpet, it states that a star by the name of Wormwood will be cast into the earth. Chernobyl is the Ukrainian word for wormwood. If you were reading a Ukrainian Bible, it would say there was a star by the name of Chernobyl cast into the earth. Well, when this explosion took place, it rained incessantly for the next 6 days. The waters of Europe were filled with the nuclide cesium-137. Everyone that drank of the water ingested this nuclide. It'll give you cancer. It has a half-life of 30 years. The Bible says, and the waters were made bitter as a result of this event at Chernobyl. And that's exactly what happened. Many men died because of the waters. At Chernobyl today, there's actually a statue of an angel blowing the trumpet. It's the third trumpet prophecy. And how do they know to do that? I don't know the answer to that, but I know one thing. 39 miles to Indianapolis. Okay. So, we've covered a few of the prophetic signs that have occurred since the first coming of Jesus to the earth. And these signs indicate his approaching second coming. Now, in our next segment, we're going to discuss some of the prophecies that have recently occurred. We've gone all the way back to 800 AD, but now we're going to come much closer to some that have recently occurred that foretell the second coming of Jesus to the earth. And we're also going to look at some of the prophecies that have not yet come to pass, but we're going to illustrate to you that they're actually in process of coming to pass. We're talking about signs of the second coming. And while we're talking about these things, I'm asking all of you out there, think about it. Are you prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ And if you're not, you need to start thinking about getting ready for that glorious event.
Do you believe we're living in the end times? If so, what's the one magazine you should subscribe to? End Time is the magazine designed to guide you through the end times. Irvin highly recommends End Time magazine so you can stay informed with what's going on in the news and how it relates to Bible prophecy. Call 1-800-363-8463 and get End Time magazine for 2 years for only $29. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com to take advantage of this special offer.
Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You'll want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
This is WHSG-TV, Monroe, Georgia. Licensed to Trinity Christian Center of Santa Ana, Incorporated. WHSG-TV also provides the Church Channel, Juice, TBN Enlace, Smile of a Child, and TBN Salsa program services.
To have, so I can't think of a better way to start the day than with hope.
Amen. And I believe that the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning, and every morning we got to wake up to grace.
What do you think? I think waking up to grace is good, but I like waking up to hope as well.
I love waking up to grace.
Just do both.
Wake up to hope and grace, 7 a.m. Eastern and Pacific, 6 a.m. Central. In a moment, watch Manifest with Perry Stone preaching the Word of God.
Health, financial provision, peace. Do these God-given promises seem out of your reach? To thank you for your gift of any amount, we've handpicked an encouraging resource from best-selling author John Hagee, The Power of the Prophetic Blessing. Pastor Hagee reveals the 8 prophetic blessings Jesus has spoken over your life, and how to speak a prophetic blessing over your children or grandchildren. And in gratitude for your gift of $100 or more, we'll include this Jeremiah 29 scripture art plaque along with the book. It will serve as a beautiful reminder of God's plan for you to live with blessing and purpose. Call 800-201-5200 or visit tbn.org for the power of the prophetic blessing for your gift of any amount, or both the Jeremiah 29 scripture art plaque along with John Hagee's book for your gift of $100 or more. Learn how to receive the blessing God has waiting for you. Call, click, or write today.
This is TBN, part of the Trinity Broadcasting family of networks, celebrating 43 years of God's miracles.